people blossom. They're beautiful in their lifetime, and then they fade away. But not one hair of your head shall perish. The Lord has every hair of your head numbered, and He has the number of your days, and He will fulfill the number of your days. Whereas it looks like a lost cause, and it appears that God just couldn't handle His business, and the devil took it away from Him, and everything's in a state of detriment, and that Satan has devastated until there ain't nothing left, and people are dying, and sicknesses and problems, and people are corrupting themselves, and it seems like nobody anymore can say anything good of him on self. All flesh has corrupted its way before God. And the mercy of God is all that keeps us. It is His glory and His blessing. But the Bible says, when you see all these things fall around you, just hold on to the Lord, love the Lord, praise the Lord. He said these things will not come nigh your dwelling. So we are they that dwell in heaven, and this wonderful light of God is within our soul. And trusting in Jesus is the song that I wrote one time, said, in trusting in Jesus, He will not fail me. So I was just thinking back over a little of the conversation today. We talked quite a long time, Mr. the Brother. And he was really alarmed as to the different things happening, the falls, and you can tell it, you pick it up in his conversation and in his spirit. And then the recession has hit real hard because he was making a lot of money, and he said it affected him just like it did all the rest, and in a great way. But the things that he spoke of, you know, sometimes they're real touching. You don't know just exactly how to take them, because you hear so many things and you don't know the authenticity of it even after you listen. But it's telling me of the swaggered condition, how the man sent his family, his wife and his children home on the plane, maybe from his meeting, California, wherever. And on the way back a number of times, was on the verge of committing suicide and ending it all. His church, it was about 7,000, I believe it was, fell off to just a few hundred. And now it is said that the Bible Society is suing him for $3 million. And of course, Franklin took one of his stations down in Pensacola. And you know, it's so strange. Only a few months back, I was sitting in his office talking to him and walking around through his operation. And we had real good fellowship. He was so enthused and sitting on top of the world. But you know, you never know when you get a visitation from God. You never know. The Jews missed their day of visitation, and their houses were left unto them desolate. And you never know when you get a visitation. Sometimes somebody just drops by your house to say hello. They sit and talk with you a few minutes. And unawares, you know, you fail to know. Unawares, there is an angelic being there that's communicating. There is a message from God. There is something that the Lord is trying to tell you. And the Bible said, be careful how you entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unaware. And you that are born of God, believe it or not, you are angels. You are angels. The Bible said you are as the angels in heaven. You are angelic beings. As it was said, it's Peter's angel. And you are an angelic being that dwells in little houses of clay. Angels in heaven are not so fortunate. They do not have these little houses that you dwell in, which is relative to the tangible matters of life. So they have no way to get to these tangible matters unless they do it through your human person. And angels are personalities, whether it be Michael, whether it be Gabriel, whether it be Lucifer, whether it be Beelzebub, whether it be the great, wonderful Holy Spirit, whatever. See, there are personalities, and fallen angels seek bodies to manifest their personalities through and their desires to relate to the tangible sources of matter and the inspirations of natural life. And inasmuch as Lucifer and the fallen angels, which are now demons and devils, inasmuch as they've been cut off from the world of light as to God's mercy and inspiration, then they are rulers of the intellectual ignorance and darkness. Whereas when you wonder about the ruler of the bottomless pit and the darkness and this kind of thing, sometimes you get a little frustrated because you don't understand just exactly what's being said. But when you say darkness, to give you some idea of this darkness, the Bible speaks of the Antichrist when grace is taken out of this world, that there will be a darkness so that they will gnaw their tongues for pain. And whereas in hell, the Bible said they'll gnash on one another with their teeth. And when you say grace, these that wander in darkness, blindness, there are people in the world. They are those that cannot see when light comes, and they are blind, and they go about to lead the blind, and all fall into the ditch. They don't know, they don't understand. You know, a person has never seen, they don't know what seeing is. They're born blind, and they don't know what seeing is. A person born with a breathing problem, they don't always fret over it because they don't know what breathing is other than they're breathing. They don't know. They've never experienced the oxygen going deep into the lungs and having a real breath. And they just feel like everybody's the same. And as a consequence of that, people who have such dwarfed minds, they never know what life is. They never comprehend life. They never see it on that level. You never having been a billionaire, you don't understand the billionaire's life because you've never been a billionaire. See, and he doesn't know anything about your life or poverty as a rule because he's never been into that kind of poverty. And some of them have been known that when they get into that state of poverty, when things as to a freakish thing happens, they blow their brains out, they commit suicide. But anyway, I'm just saying that these demons, the only way that they can get any inspiration of life, the only way that they can get any relief from that darkness as to the terror and the nightmares, they have to get into human bodies as doing this dispensation of grace called the Church Ages, that they might reap of that light and get that benefit of that light through your allotted period of time as to the grace, the days of your grace, that's allotted you until your angelic being has a chance to make its decision as day by day as to whether it will go after the things of the world, as to that which will pass away, or go after the things of God, which is eternal, that cannot pass away. That's why the writer wrote the song, "Build your hopes on things eternal and hold to God's unchanging hand." But we were just talking today about things and happenings. And I consider the hundreds and millions of people around the world, the great lights that they have looked to, the religious lights, we had predicted that they would fall. We'd also predicted that in the latter times, as is told by the scriptures, that great men would fall to purge some of them and pull them back out of the fire. Because they would get lofty, heady, high-minded, self-esteemed, all these kind of things. There are men that are like that in the world today. They're in high places. There are more men that's coming into the religious aspect of life in admiration of these men, not having any understanding. They're going after the things of the world, and they too are headed for the great fall. And then the great temptation that's falling upon the world today. See, the Bible says, and in that hour of temptation, for there is coming upon the world the hour of temptation. And in that thou hast kept my word, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation that is to come upon the world to try all of them that dwell on the earth. Well, this is the great hour of temptation that's moving in, and men are lusting and women are lusting after everything they see. Every way that they go, it's a continual lust and desire and a gullible desire of the flesh. Continually. It's just a spirit of Satan that is not love, but lust. Not even as in marriage, but lust. And as the Bible said, as even to marriage, that God is joined together, which is God, the spirit of love. You know, let no man tamper with that. But in the day we're living in, it's like dogs and animals, and they want cars, and they want money, and they want fame, and they want popularity. And yet they want to gossip, they want to backbite, they want to fight, they want to show their temper, they want to covet, they want to just do anything there is to do in the world and still have God. And they want to hold on to the world with this hand and hold on to God with that hand. That is demons. The demons, they want this world, and yet they want God's favoritism. Because without God's favoritism, they can't have this world of goods. And because everything belongs to God, and without God's favoritism, they can't have a consolation as to enjoyment. But if they got preachers that are preach in the behind the sacred desk, that they can just be a charismatic order, and that they can be a denominational way of life, or they can be a group of people, as long as they're successful in the world, they can come to church, and the church will back them up and bless them, and the preacher will back them up and bless them and project them out there as Christians and show them to the world as our successful people in our community, and these people have titles and names, and this is a first church, and you need to come to this church. See, well, all that's garbage to God. But nevertheless, this is where the world is today. And in bringing out some revelation today and talking to my wife for quite a while I was riding around, I brought quite a number of these things out as to the dimensional depths of the spiritual things that I long so to bring out here so many times. And many times I just have to kind of go along and I'll bring out something, and perhaps it's the same thing I talked to her about. But on the other hand, it won't be the dimensional depths of the detail of those things that we can really enjoy and grow by. So we're here tonight to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Now when you hear a message, you hear preaching, just like going to school, it becomes a tutoring. It becomes an intellectual indoctrination as to whatever the expression is. And you take it to be so. But at the same time, this word that comes forth, if it really is the minister of God, it's not him speaking, but Christ speaking from within him. And in this, when this comes forth, it is the God of heaven from within his temple that is expressing himself to his angelic babes, which is in the wound of your heart. And with this kind of ministering, you are not just getting another word. You're not just getting another indoctrination. You didn't get another message so that you can put it in a book and you can be thrilled over reading it or pass it on to somebody, or I have another message so I can publish it abroad and say, listen to me and hear me, and here's one book and 10 books and 1,000 books. See, it's not that at all. This is the word of spirit and life. And as you, on your journey of the invisible stride of life toward Christ, from earth to heaven, from Egypt to Canaan, you are changing and you are transformating. You go to school and you have your lessons in the first grade and the second grade and the third grade, and to you it's just another lesson and just another lesson and just another lesson. And then after a while you've gone 6 or 8 grades and it's just another lesson and just another book. But what you don't realize is that's not what it is at all. What you don't realize is that your mind is transformating. And after a while, on through college and into scientific studies, and the first news you know, your mind is up here in heaven studying the stars and all of this astrology stuff. And what you have done, your spirit has come from a babe in a natural world, as we say, as to the tangible sources, and gone into the invisible as to the infinity of man's comprehension, which isn't infinity at all, but as to that which you cannot see unless it's magnified into existence, being a type of infinity. So, and you find yourself an Einstein way up here. See, so you've been transformating all the time. And these that from their youth up, they got to drink a little and they got to curse a little and chew and snort a little bit and gossip a little bit and wallow around in the mires of human ego and human desire and passions. See, they don't realize it. They think, well, it's just another day. It's just another thing. This is the way of life. Everybody does it. But what they don't know is that they're transformating. All the time they're transformating in their minds, and they're transformating into the dimensional depths of Satan. And if they keep on, the Bible speaks of some never having known the depths of Satan. After a while, all of their control of nerves will fall out from under them. All of their stability of believing will fall out from under them. And they'll go into a panic. They'll lose control. And they'll lose their faith. They'll make their faith shipwreck. And their believing will not be strong enough for them to be stable to believe that they're going to keep their sanity. And then from them their sanity goes. Because with this conglomeration, Satan comes in and he begins to press the issue and to go berserk. And they start killing people or something happened or whatever. And when they come out of the thing, they say, I don't know what happened to me. See, and it is of the greatest necessity to your life, even your natural existence in this world, to get a hold of something that's stable. And there's only one absolute in the world, and that's the Word of God. Everything comes from it, everything hinges on it. And this is the only stable thing there is, because science is a theorized thing of knowledge, falsely so called, and it shifts so much that it's a shifting sand of theology. And today it seems stable, and tomorrow it's gone out from under you, and you're sitting there and don't know what to do. Have you ever been in the ocean and all of a sudden everything washes out from under you? Well, that means that you people that are playing around with believing, and you people that are playing around with faith, and you people that feel so young and jubilant and can do all of these things, it's going to be bad with you, because you are called a sinful, adulterous generation, and it will happen to you when it will bypass many of the elders, because you have no stability. You have no nothing, and you're out there in the wind like a kite, and the string breaks, and then you're gone. See, you're blown about with every wind of doctrine, ideology, and bewitching thoughts, and you're always discussing things that you have no business discussing, getting in things you have no business getting into. You're running after money and running after passions and all these other things. And after a while, suddenly something happens to you like that. And then you're fixing to die. As a matter of fact, it comes back to me today. Something was mentioned about an exceedingly wealthy rich man of many millions. And somebody was having a conversation with him and admiring his Rolls Royce and whatever. And I think he just spent $1 million on some cars, and or had $1 million worth of cars. And he said, well, he said, you probably don't know that I've only had, from a few days back, 6 weeks to live. See, and he was wanting somebody to pray for him because the doctors couldn't help him. See, so it's going to be there. Like we say, the rug's going to be pulled out from under you. You're transformating into deep dimensional darkness. And Satan is getting a stronger grip and a stronger grip. And then all of a sudden your mind slips and it's gone. And insanity is there. See, but with God, you go to church, you listen at the minister, you don't do it deceitfully. You try to do the very best you know how. If you stumble and stagger, you trust God to help you. And you go on with the wonderful ways of God. And you are transformating in your mind from these earthly ways of life into a great height of His glory, of power, of magnificence, of understanding, of a great stability of life. You're founding upon a rock. You're building your house upon a rock so that the storms and the winds of ideology doesn't shake it. See, so you are transformating. It's not just another message. It's not just another word. Only to the reflectors is it thus. But when it comes to you and comes to your way of life, you're transformating, being called to glory, to virtue, and you are being called to virtue in that you're coming out of those contaminations, and you're through this virtue transformating into the glory that's going to change your body into a celestial state of being. And you're becoming more powerful, and you're becoming more stronger, and you're becoming full of the Spirit as to resist the devil, that he might flee from you and have no power over you, the demons having no power over you, because you are doing these things in Christ. See, and you're becoming great and mighty, and you are on a journey. And you are coming out of the Egyptian bondage of the beggarly elements of the world as to your human infatuations, as to that which is relative to your human senses, and the bonds child as to the mind of the gullible desire of the world to which you relate because you're dependent upon the elements of the world, which elements the Bible said being on fire shall melt with fervent heat. And so then you are coming out of the bonds world. You're coming out of the bonds mind. See, the whole thing has nothing to do with the body. The body is dead without the Spirit. It doesn't do anything. I know we lift our hands, we clap our hands, we do all kinds of things, you know. And we think it's just that body. It's that body. And the dispute is over the body. And all the conglomerations over the body. But it's because there's two great powers, even Lucifer and God, that's trying to get that body to manifest themselves through that body, so that they can relate to the tangible sources of matter that's in this world. And in that God made Adam for his body, then he was to live in that body. But when it come right down to it, Satan stole that body. And that's where the problem comes in. And as I was telling my wife today, as to an intricate, detailed matter as to these thoughts of why and how and in the dimensional depth of the things that was going on. See, so the fight is over the body, but the body really can do nothing. It's just made out of the dust, and it really can do nothing. Satan to live in it, it will die, but God to live in it, he's the one that made it, and in his presence there's life. So Satan cannot have the presence of God, therefore you cannot have life if you fellowship Satan, because he is cursed. And when you do those derogative things in life, and you do those abased things in life, it means that you're in the shadow of death. And it means that the light is not there with you. And it means that you're going to die, that you're dying every day. See, and the only reason that you're staying alive in the perverted condition that the world's in today, the only reason that you're staying alive as a human being is because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as to the atonement for the righteous. And the righteous, there are still those that are righteous out there among the people of the world and among the beasts. And he's calling them out through the ministry. And just as quick as he gets their attention and gets those people out from their midst, the light will go out to them because God cannot even look upon them. And the blood will come off the seat of atonement. There'll be no more grace for that human body. And those devils will be trapped in those human bodies to be put into fire. And through the same means of the gullible desire to satisfy themselves with passions and all the things of the world, through that same means they're going to be in there when these nerves are going to become the tormenting evils of damnation, and they'll be tormented through the feeling of these nerve system and these things to which they have come into bondage. And you people that are enjoying the nerves as to the human senses, your five senses, which is a vanity life, after a while it's coming to an end, and the blood's coming off the seat of atonement, and the grace is going to be gone. And you that have violated the principles of God's word as to your allotted means and way of life, the means and measures of life as to what you're supposed to be in reproduction, or whether it is to live or to eat or drink, going beyond temperance and doing these derogative things of life, all of a sudden you're going to be in prison. Your body is going to be a prison as to your human senses, and as the torments of God come down upon Lucifer, it's coming down upon you. The judgments, as life withdraws darkness, that intellectual darkness that you have loved because your deeds are evil, it's going to envelop you, and then all of this is going to turn into problems. These same nerves that nourish you, these same feelings that inspire your brain, these same eyes that picks up the images and ears that record, the same human sensation that gives you such an exhilaration and feeling, that same system is going to be a torture and a torment to you. And when you get cancer, you're going to wish you didn't have any feeling, and you'll take every pain pill you can to kill the feeling. It's not exhilarating anymore. It's not exciting anymore. And as it goes on eating you up with the diseases of the world today, one of the diseases that is such an outstanding thing that I believe, what has it got to be that 1 in 100 has this horrible disease now? And it's coming down on you, all the diseases. And when that angel or those angels pour out the plagues in the air, it's going to be a horrible nightmare where they will chew their tongue with pain. And they'll beg and they'll plead, but there won't be any way to get out of it. So then I'm telling you that you need to listen, because this is not just another message. This is the message of translation. Somebody said, well, I doubt that. Well, that's all right. Thomas was a doubter. There's a place for you too. But the thing is, this is the message of translation, and it is translating the church. And all it's bringing out of you is what's in you, as to a criticism, as to a fault finding, as to an ugly attitude. In the world, they say you need an attitude adjustment. All it's bringing out is what's in you. This is made to bring out what's in you. And that's what it's doing. It's bringing out those things that are in you. And I felt a repercussion when I said this is the message of translation. But praise God, it is. And you that are children of God, you know that, and you're after that, and you want that, and even with the argument that Satan brings as to opposing you in your mind, you still believe it, and you want to get rid of it. As to that, this opposition. Let's read from the book of Romans. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised to Phoa by his prophets, in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same thing. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? To them who by patience continue in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and unto the Gentile. For there is no respect of person with God. Okay, notice here he said, but after the hardness and impenitent heart, treasure up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. So then again we see here that even the very judgments of God, they come from a revelation. The judgments of God are released by means of a revelation. Salvation comes by a revelation. Righteousness comes by a revelation. And that's why the Bible said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. For the Bible says that this great revelation of Jesus Christ, that at the time that this revelation come, that the time was at hand. And it's in this great revelation of Jesus Christ that the coming of the Lord is seen, the tribulation is seen, the judgments are seen, and all these other things, as even John being caught up into heaven having to do with the rapture of the church, all of these things are seen in the revelation of Jesus Christ. So then this wonderful great revelation, what is this revelation? It is the doing away with this world, is the bright light of God that's coming that dissolves the veil and causes the veil to dissipate, that in the place of the veil there is the true image. It is the great day star of the light of that wonderful sunlight of heaven that comes, that does away with the darkness as to the intellectual shadows of your human concept of the valley of this death, that all of a sudden there will appear the true image and the great wonderfulness of the detailed things of God that emanated from God in the beginning, that fell into the shadows, and all of a sudden the shadows are gone. Even the world of vanity, which is the world of shadows, the world to whom you that are in darkness belong, because you are a creature of darkness, and the God of this world is the God of darkness, and he is The one that has made you blind to where you cannot see this light. For the Bible said this true light shines, and it shines in the darkness, and it shines to them that are sitting in the regions of the shadow of death, of darkness. This great light has sprang up, but they cannot comprehend the heights and the depth and the width and the length of this wonderful light, which is called the revealing or the revelation. So then everybody isn't going to heaven. When we talk about heaven, we being human beings, we have to talk to you about a great city with gates of pearls, a great city with walls of jasper, a great city with foundation of jewels. And we have to talk to you about some natural thing that represents this great city. And the very best that earth can afford is what's used to represent this city. And when we talk about heavenly things, the only way that we can talk about heavenly things is through an oral expression of earthly knowledge. Even our measurements, as to the angels' measurements being the same in heaven, means and measures of comprehension or expression or definition. And so then we find out that when we try to tell you of heavenly things, that is hard for you to see. And that's why in our early service this morning, when we said something about Jesus saying to Nicodemus, if I told you earthly things and you don't understand, how are you going to understand heavenly things? But see, we have no heavenly way to express it. We have no heavenly means to express it, because all of the invisible things of heaven as to the world of spirit or the spirit world, they are beyond our understanding, beyond our comprehension. We don't even relate to them. We don't know nothing about them. We can't touch them. We can't get near them except through Jesus Christ. So then that means in that great, wonderful world, that great, wonderful world of God, in the beginning, every natural thing as to this earthly episode of life expresses from the beginning to the consummation of this world. It expresses the invisible world of God, the invisible desire of God, the invisible things of God. Everything naturally expresses God and the invisible world. But you don't see it because you are of this world. You are of the darkness. You are of the shadows, and therefore you are a creature of this world. You do not transformate in your mind, as I said we do in the earlier service today. So you don't transformate in your mind. All you see is food and drink and desire. And all you can have is the gullible desire of those passions that I spoke of, that's going to become a nightmare to you, which is already doing it with the hospitals filled up. And when you're put in prison and there, those nerves that have been so excited as to human senses for the gullible desires of the world, now you're penned up like a bird in a cage, and those nerves is driving you out of your mind, and those human senses are driving you out of your mind, and the devils and demons that's in there that's just tore to pieces and can't stand it because they are hemmed up in that body. They can't get loose that easy, and they're in there, and now they're interwoven with you, and they're just driving you crazy trying to get the body out of there. See, all of the invisible things of God, all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the natural things from the beginning of the creation. And all natural things, from a little tiny blade of grass to a little tiny chigger, all of it represents something spiritual. A man so ignorantly made the statement one time, said them people would make a revelation out of a horsefly. You've heard me say that. And when I heard it, I thought, how ignorant can a man be? Anybody would know a horsefly has a definite spiritual meaning. See, but he was supposed to be a preacher. He was supposed to really be blazing the field. So then what is it? We see the bond child mocking the free child because of its self-esteem. And they don't know that they're children of intellectual ignorance and darkness, and that they know not anything because they are blind and they have to have somebody to lead them. That's why the world goes in a chain of command. And that's why the world moves as in a sequence, one after another, as a leader and then another and another. But it's not so with you and I. We are a sovereignty of desire, and we are a sovereignty of understanding. And we can go to God, and God will freely give to all men. You know, it's like I was telling my wife today. People often approach me like this. Well, how do you get this revelation, Brother Pike? How do you get this thing? You know, I do this and I do that and all kind of things. And I fast and I pray and I study. You know, and I'm a preacher or I'm a devout person. How do you get it? You know, we get so brilliant, so carried away with ourselves, and so carried away, as the Jews did, with what we're doing as their own self-righteousness, that we really don't ever follow the leadership of the Spirit. Somebody said, didn't Moses go on a 40-day fast? I never read where he did. I read where God called him up into the mountains, and for 40 days he didn't have a chance to eat. Didn't Elijah go on a 40-day fast? I never read where he did. The angel came to him and said, you're going on a long journey. You need to have a meal. And he prepared a meal twice. And it took him 40 days to get to where he was going. And the Lord spoke to him. See, we get into ritualistics. We get into things, and from these things we make ourselves great and mighty people. And we didn't even hear from God at all. In the Old Testament, they went on fasts. And they didn't hear from God at all. Daniel went into a fast of 21 days, and the very angels of heaven came down. Paul on the ship, 14 days without food, and the very angel of God came down and ministered with him. Other men with long fasts, I've heard of them going maybe 70 or 80 days or whatever, and not getting any communication with God. God not only called Moses for 40, but he called him back for 40 more because they broke the covenant. See, we are ritualistics. We get into a ritualistic thing. And we condemn the Catholics for counting their beads. But we are just as ritualistic a lot of times in our Pentecostal formalities as to whatever we think is right and what somebody's told us is right. See, we are not trying to engage in fasting. We are not trying to engage in praying. We are trying to engage in finding the will of God, in loving God, and submitting ourselves unto God and doing always the will of God. We're not engaged in trying to learn to memorize the Bible or trying to get some great education as to an intellectual doctorate of the world. We are trying to serve God. We are children of simplicity. We're just simply looking for God, to love Him and to be full of the Holy Ghost and be full of the great Holy Spirit. That's all that we're doing. And sometimes through this we run into a fasting series or we run into a praying series or whatever we do. The thing is to do always the things that please the Father. You may want to go on a 5-day fast when God don't want you on a 5-day fast, and all you do is get in His way just long enough for the devil to stop you from pulling a soul out of hell over here that you could have reached if you'd have been following the Spirit and went over there and done what He told you to do. See, He said, away with your solemn assemblies, away with your fast, away with your feast. He said, it's an abomination in my sight. He said, you need to be doing these things for the will of God and doing these things according to the leadership of God. And then I could receive this. Otherwise, he said, it's nothing. Pharisees, scribes, hypocrites. He said, that's all you are. Sat in the seat of Moses, and you don't honor me. You don't follow the Spirit. How do you call me Lord, Lord, when you do not the things that I tell you to do? See, so I purpose in my life. I said, God, I want to follow you. I want your Spirit. How do you get this revelation? I said it once to Sister Betty today. I said it is so simple that we're so brilliant, we're so great, we think we have such great calling, such outstanding personalities, and we've just got to get before the people, and they've just got to see us, and they've got to hear us and know that we're the all-time great that has come down to earth, you know, to tell them what to do. And the real essence of the whole thing is we don't even know what to do in that kind of state of mind. I said, Betty, it's a simple little thing. What do we do to get this revelation? Jesus said, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. Yea and amen, that's all there is to it. See, what is your problem? Why don't you get it? You know you're not hungering after God. You know you're not thirsting after God. You're just wanting to come to church. You're wanting to hear the gospel. You're wanting to get the consolation of this. And you want to be real spiritual as to your thinking so that somebody will hear you prophesy or you'll have a great miracle touch, you know, and all these kind of childish things. That's where the problem is. Do you hunger after God? Do you want to be on your knees before God continually?
Do you hunger after God that you want to be shut away from the people continually? Do you hunger after God that you'd rather be in the environment of His praise and His worship and studying the Bible? Or had you rather have a business? Had you rather be out on the job? Had you rather make money? Had you rather frolic? Had you rather visit with your relatives? Had you rather take all of your time thinking about what you want to think about? Whether it's watching TV or whether it's reading books. It doesn't matter if you're reading them for a religious purpose or whatever. Or are you so busy that you're here, there, everywhere and haven't gone anywhere? And you're just doing something all the time, and when you finish and lay down to die, you haven't done anything. God doesn't acknowledge any of it. It's just all rubbish. See, you're not hungering and thirsting after the things of God. Do you steal away and come in here? How many of you do I find that steal away that come in here in the church and I find you weeping and crying all night long? Even as to the minister when he said, lay in the altars all night, ye ministers of God, and howl for the people as to these terrible things that's coming upon the church and upon the world. Are you hungering and thirsting? Somebody says, well, I don't feel called to do that. I know you don't. There's not a devil that I know of that does. Let's give the Lord a hand. But the Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these other things that you're so desiring will be added unto you. See, the thing is, you say, well, I believe God raised me up to do this, Brother Pike, on the financial end. I don't dispute that. I don't dispute that. But if God raised you up to do it, why didn't you labor to give? Why is it that you labor and spend all that you've got and still drop your pennies in the penny march? If God raised you up, God's not in a thing that you're doing out there. It's what you want to do. And a lot of you just give something so that you can get prosperity, feeling that if you give, God's going to do an extra thing for you. But the little widow didn't do that when she gave all of her living, when she gave her two mites while the rich men were dropping in out of their abundance. She didn't do that. The little widow that didn't have anything but just a little bite for her son and for her and would have died, she done altogether different. And God felt altogether different about it. The Bible said, and the Lord looked and said, she hath given her living. Somebody would say, well, what do you mean? As I've said so often, God could care less about what you give or what you've got, whether it's 1,000 or 10,000. God wants to know what you've got left after you give. Of your time, of your strength, of your heart, of your mind, for you're supposed to love Him with all of your heart, with all of your strength, with all of your mind. And God is interested in what you do with all your time every day and how much that you've got left of your time and your substance. See, and Jesus said, take up your cross, bring the thing down to a cross, make a little effort, make a little sacrifice. The world of today, they're not that way. They're headed, they're high-minded. They want the convenience of life. They want all the goodies of life. They don't want to make any sacrifice. Somebody would say, well, are you making a sacrifice? Well, I could say this, I'm preaching to you. You're supposed to be listening, not questioning. But nevertheless, for your sake, do as the man asked me. Yesterday, a day before yesterday, down in Augusta, whenever it was, I said, do you know the Lord? Have you ever had an experience with the Lord? Talmadge Lewis, the Lewis bus lines. And he said, yes. He said, I tithe. He said, do you tithe? I said, yes, I do. And it looked like it might have come as a little shock that a preacher would tithe. But the thing is, the Bible said, when you give of that which you have, then your cup will run over. God will bless you. Someone would say, Brother Pike, are you preaching on money? Oh no, I'm preaching on tithing. Let's give the Lord a hand. So then, what do we do? I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground when you share with the poor and with the needy. And when you give as you should give, as I told Howard today, I said, Howard, here's the things that I'm alarmed about as a minister. I said, first, the Bible said, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. Number one, to visit the widows and the orphans and their afflictions. I said, and then it says, number two, to keep yourself unspotted from the world. I said, and it's hard for me to find ministers that's ministering to the poor and feeding the poor, and hard for me to find them that's staying out of the world and keeping themselves from the world. I said, as to this, then where is salvation? Let's give the Lord a hand. Having a church full of people and all these kind of things mean nothing. So then we are recipients of that great spirit to hunger and to thirst after that, to give ourselves, to give our substance, and we're going to have businesses dedicated to the Lord. Do all things, whatever you do, as unto the Lord. Labor that you might have to give. And he that's got an abundance, the Bible said, as it is written, he that had much hath nothing left over when he got through sharing with the poor. And as it is written, he that gathered little, as to him that's in the evangelistic field, or him that's out yonder trying to give service to help the poor, whatever, physically with his hands or whatever it might be, he had no lack. Because your abundance made up for his lack. And so then his reward that he got from God, you shared with him, because you bid at Godspeed and you were partakers. See, that means that we have come to a reality of not just another message, not just hearing something else to add to our little intellectual treasure, but we are children of God and we are transformating and we are manifesting Christ in our life, and that we are changing into glory and into glory by coming out of the world as to virtue, calling us to virtue and to glory, that this virtuous way of life, through this virtuous way of life, even as Mary's conception as a virgin, through this virgin way of life, that we are virgins, the 10 virgins. See, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. We are the wise virgins. We come out from the world. We are not losing our virginity. We're staying with Christ because we love Christ. And the life of Jesus is through this divine conception of the great Holy Spirit through the seed of Christ, even His Son. We are bringing forth Christ as Christ within us is formed, and the ministry travails to form this Christ within us. And they sing this song, bringing forth a man-child. And this wonderful Jesus that's on the inside of the heart, this wonderful Christ on the inside of the heart, we're trying to make this life manifest in the human body, in the human mind, in the human being. And the whole thing is a transition of the mind. Because the body has nothing to do with it. Whatever you think, whatever you are, as you think in your heart, so you do, and the child is known according to his doings. If he thinks right in his heart, he does the right things. If he thinks otherwise in his heart, that's what he does. If he is a hunter, that's what he thinks about. And that's what he does as the proof that that's what he thinks, that that's where his mind is. And whatever you talk to him about, he'll go back to hunting. If he is a fisherman, he will do the same thing. In that capacity of life. If he is a liar, if he is a thief, if he is a man that's gullible after money, if he just wants social securities in life, he'll always be talking about his own benefits. If he is fleshly, everything that he says will go back to the flesh. If he is spiritual, everything that he says will go back to the spirit, because that's his desire. That's his thinking. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. And the Lord said, I will feed thee the fruits of thine thoughts. See, if I think a certain thought, my body feeds off of that, and thus my body is controlled by that, and that's what my lifestyle is. See, but if I think whatever in my heart, it's going to be made manifest to the world, and the world's going to know the child by the doing. If I think of God in here, then light is coming into my life, because my body's going to feed off of my thoughts, and I'm going to be a Christ-like person. I'm going to be a Christian. And God is going to administer through me to other people by means of the measure of my faith. Oh, how beautiful it would be if we had time to preach a sermon, you know, that would take hours. And get into the real things of God, as to great is the mystery of godliness, being made a steward of these mysteries. But anyway, as to these things, see, treasure up to yourself the wrath of God that's coming, wrath unto wrath. And have an impenetrable heart. Harden your heart, stiffen your neck. He said, I'll destroy you in that without remedy. Remember, your thoughts are of darkness. And you are a creature of darkness, and your deeds are evil. And even as I preach this morning, though a child of light may stumble and stagger and have bodily errors, they do not have the spirit of error. It is a stumbling block as to Lucifer and people that Satan uses. And God will not charge any of that to his precious saints. But you other that are careless and want to be charismatic and go out in the world and be free and want the things of God, and yet you want to dress according to darkness, do according to darkness, follow after the flesh, the gullible desires of the old beast body. And yet you say you are a Christian. You're not Christ-like. And do you want these things when the Bible said, come out from the world and be a separate people. Touch not those unclean things that's been cursed by God, and I'll receive it, saith the Lord. Give of that which you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. See, and you say, well, praise God. If I stumble, if I err, if I do these things, whatever, it don't matter, because God is love and God is merciful and God knows I can't help it. And you just go on with your old filthy desires and your old filthy ways of life, thinking that you are a Christian and thinking that God's mercy is for you. There is no mercy for you. You think that there's mercy for you. And Jesus said, you think I'm altogether such a one as you are. See, God told them, even the Jews, he said, you people that take this outlook, when you see the wrath of God upon others and you still go do the same thing, and said, you think I'm altogether such a one as you are, but someday I'm going to meet you. There's going to be a change in your life. And he said, and I'm going to meet you like a bear that's robbed of her cubs. And they said, that's one of the worst things you can meet. Now, and he said, beware you that forget God, because if you forget me, I'm going to turn you into hell. And he said, all nations, whether it's America or whatever, that forget me, are they going to be turned into hell. God is going to reach the people. Like I heard today, this man called Stonewall, that's a bebop singer and all this kind of thing, as far as I know. Down at the Grand Ole Opry, somebody was down there. They came and told me about this. Said that they were shocked when, is it Connie Lee or whatever her name is, come out for a singing, and instead she testified to the glory of God that he had saved her. And when Stonewall came out as to his great new release, as they said, he was telling everybody about it that night, and to their utter amazement as he began to sing, the title of the new album was America on Her Knees. And it said it really tore the audience up. See, God intends for people to hear this wonderful thing. And you don't have any protection. You are on your way to hell. And you don't have any protection. And God isn't going to give you any mercy. The day that you came to the knowledge of the truth, that was the end of mercy for you. And everything that you do, you're going to reap it and you're going to pay for it. It doesn't matter if you think you're a nice person, a religious person, a person that just wouldn't hurt anybody. It has nothing to do with it. The thing is, you came to the knowledge of the truth and was supposed to be filled with the Spirit and take up a battle with the devil and find you a vision and get in there day and night and fight and hunger and thirst after the things of God. Because, beloved, let me tell you something. You're not you that are not hungering after righteousness. You're not going to be filled. You're just going to be this old wishy-way of this thing that you've always been as a religious thing. And you're not going to be filled with the Spirit. And when the devil comes around, you're not going to be able to withstand him. Somebody would say, well, I believe in the grace of God. Well, it looks more like you believe in the disgrace that comes from the devil. You say, God's going to take care of me. He's going to be merciful. He understands. He doesn't understand anything except His Word. He says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. I have no fellowship with you. I'm not your father. Just because I gave you the grace through the blood of my Son for a dispensation to have mercy that you might repent, He will say, I'm not your God. I'm not the God of the dead, but of the living. And people that are in trespasses and sin as to the love of the world are dead while they live. Why didn't you get away from that old carnal intellectual mind of feeling that you was all right and feeling that you was a fine person and you just kind of stayed home with your wife and your family, you know, and just kind of make the living? Why didn't you get out of that rut and get born again and get the mind of Christ and get a vision and get in there and fast and get in there and pray and get in there and seek God and get in there and tell of the glory of God and line up with the brothers and line up with the sisters and day and night, as the Bible said, wait on God? Why didn't you hunger and thirst after the things of God? If you'd have hungered and thirsted after the things of God, wouldn't you have had the things of God rather than the things of the world? It's evident that you hunger and thirst after the things of the world. Isn't that right? So then, knowing all of this, God isn't going to give you any mercy. You are in for heartaches. Somebody said, well, I'm going to repent of my sins and get right. That's great. Well, let me tell you something. Even when you repent of your sins and get right, if God allows you to do it, you still got heartaches. You still got some prison terms. You still got problems. And you knew this and wouldn't do the right thing. You have willfully trampled over the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and counted it an unholy thing. And the Bible said if they that were under the law of Moses, if they died in the presence of God as two or three witnesses witnessed against them, and they died for this horrible thing, how much more sore a punishment will you be thought worthy as to them that have trampled under feet the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and counted it an unholy thing? So then you are in for a nightmare. You pray, you beg, you plead. Because let me tell you something, folks. When it comes down to your house, and I told you it was coming down to your house. When it comes down to your house, you can beg and plead. I hear people talking about, I believe. Man, I got faith. Man, I can do this. I was telling my wife today, that's great. And some of them does have faith. And that's great. But I'll tell you, when it comes down to your house, and when the devil really comes in like a roaring lion, and God doesn't lift a standard up, and he comes in, Satan comes in, and he starts afflicting your body and afflicting your mind and afflicting your loved ones, and he starts really coming down on you to things, I mean, that's horrible, you're going to find out that your faith went out the window. You ain't got nothing. Somebody said, but I believe in his mercy. There ain't no such thing as that except in the dispensation of grace when you do not know and you do not understand that God gives that to you, and it's not a matter of your believing. It's something that he gave. And when you come to the knowledge of the truth, there is no such thing unless you honor and obey God. And that when you run out at the devil, he's going to say to you, as he said to those men back there, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And when you run out there at him like Samson, when Samson had lost the glory of his strength as to that was biblical, when he lost the word of not abiding within the word that was given from the Spirit, and he had gone contrary and cut off the locks of his hair, and he run out there and shook himself, he found out that they didn't run from him, and he found out he wasn't a Superman, and he found out he couldn't handle the situation. See, the Bible said, draw nigh to God and then resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. If you're planning to resist the devil, you draw nigh to God and then resist the devil. See, don't run out there on your own, because just believing in mercy ain't going to do you no good whatsoever, because there is no mercy to you. All right, so then we know the straight, narrow life as to the walk with God. As to the unleavened walk from Egypt to Canaan, separating yourself from the world, to come out from the world, to be a separate people. Can you have the spiritual things of God very freely? Does he want you to have them? He does with all of his heart, to the extent of giving his blood. But how do you get them? To hunger and thirst after righteousness, and you shall be filled. If you are doing your best to keep from lying, keep from gossiping, keep from backbiting, keep from interfering with God and the ministry, and if you're doing your best to put that image that God despises out of your life, even your own person, your human person and self, as to self-esteem, and the old carnal mind of resistance that's ever surmising and trying to figure out things and going your way and doing your thing and finding a world and a life, as to your natural, intellectual, gullible desire of Satan and demons that save us the things that be of this life, if you're willing to go to Calvary to live in the shadow of the cross, as the songwriter said, if you're willing to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me, and hunger and thirst after righteousness, and just be godly every day, every thought, every moment, every hour, and all of your efforts is toward God, to do all things as unto the Lord, and seek the Lord Jesus to come out of the world and from the wicked and be a separate people, then you can have it. So then search your lives and see what you've been hungering and thirsting after. And it's not hard to find out, because you'll be reaping whatever you've been going after. For the Bible said, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh. All these tangible matters
that are corruptible. For he that soweth to the flesh shall reap of the flesh, or he shall reap the corruption of the world. All these things that are corruptible. Sow to the flesh and you'll reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall reap everlasting life. He'll reap these wonderful gifts. He'll reap these wonderful treasures. He'll reap this wonderful heavenly treasure that is given to humanity and that's in earthen vessels of today. For now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God since Calvary, and is freely given to all men. But as to be a mimic, as to just reflect, as to be lifted up in self, as to learn a lot, as to study a lot, listen to the preacher a lot, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Let's stand together. Let's give God another hand. Well, the Bible said straight is the way. Narrow is the way. And few there be that find it. But broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many shall enter thereat. And David of old said, and I saw them come from the house of the Lord. They had gone to the house of the Lord, and they came from the house of the Lord, and then they were turned into hell, even though they come to church. Folks, let's don't be childish. In malice, let us be children. Howbeit in understanding, let us be men. When I was a child, I spake as a child, Paul said. When I become a man, I put away childish things. Don't ever think that God's got a special allowance for you. He has no special allowance for you. A lot of times you escape because, just like my children, a lot of times they've escaped the detriments of life because I've stayed before God and pleaded with God to be merciful unto them. And give them another chance and give them another chance. And all the time they're still treasuring up wrath against the day of wrath. And it's just because somebody's been praying for you. A lot of times you see somebody else go when they are better than your son or daughter. And yet they go out just like a light. And you say, why? No one was praying. Pray that God will grant repentance unto life to them that are without. For God heareth not us in his prayer. So, we are mediators, and we're beseeching the world to be reconciled to Christ as ambassadors from heaven. See, and if you are spared, it's only because of somebody pleading and praying, fasting and asking God to be merciful. But after a while, it'll run out. When you come to the knowledge of the truth, they can do all they want to, but like it was in the days of Job, when his children became wretched, though Job was a perfect man, the wrath of God came upon those children. They had to pay for it. And you just remember that those prayers are protecting you, and everything that you've done, you've got it to reap, whether you come to God or whether you don't come to God. But there's one thing about it. If you come to God, it will be a consideration in that God will consider, and in your behalf, he'll try to help you and strengthen you through those crushing days that's coming. The thing that was said of the man swaggered today, the exhilaration and the corruption, not considering how ungodly and low down and devilish and filthy and corrupt it was, and how much it reproached Almighty God and tore into the hearts of people and left an image that is so ugly that it'll never be erased of these ministers that's done these things and is swept all over the world to reflect us, and they make jokes out of us and all the rest. But you know, they don't realize that God let that happen. He raises up one and puts down another. They that are abhorred of the Lord falls into the great ditch. See, and God let it happen. Why did he let it happen? To catch all of the rest off guard. And just about the time they start to attacking the church and making mockery of the church and finding fault with the church, the Lord's going to appear in the heavens. And they're going to have their minds so deep in the mire and their criticism and whatever. And the hypocrites will be withdrawing from the church, making a joke out of the church. And about that time, the Lord will come. Because the saints is going to be steadfast. They're going to be clean. They're going to be holy. And that old bonds child that made that joke out of that child of God, they afterward would give 10 million worlds, if at all possible, just to have one or two days with those children that they mocked. Or have the prayers of those that can bless.
So you just hold steadfast, stay right in there with the Lord, love the Lord, do what you're supposed to do, hunger and thirst after righteousness, cause your whole lifestyle to conform to Christ. Don't fret yourself because of evildoers. And if you've never known God and you've never made contact with God, if you've never made a commitment to God, then you need to start making it, because it's high time that you awake. And when they awoke, they saw His glory. And it's time that you change your life. And if you don't change your life and you sit under the ministry, every sermon that you sit under, you become harder. And it becomes harder for you to serve God. And every bit of the knowledge that you come to and you reject and you don't apply it to your life to change your lifestyle, then that means every time you do that, you are that much harder and that much farther from God and that much more chargeable to God and in that much more danger as an eternal damnation. All right, let's sing a little chorus. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. You're headed for a diplomacy. Just keep on believing and studying and learning. And you're going to receive a diplomacy of life, a crown that fades not away. And you're transformating in your mind from one sermon as to a glory to another glory, that you might be illuminated with the wonderful Shekinah of His glory. Sweep over my soul. Sing that with me. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Sing this with me. I need Thee, my Lord, I need Thee every hour. I need Thee. And I need Thee now, precious Savior. Oh, how I need Thee. So don't turn Him away. So don't turn Him away. Oh, He has come back to your heart once again. Just let Jesus in to stay. For oh, how you'll need just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to Jesus and hear His loving voice, and don't turn Him away. The altars are open while we sing this little chorus. Welcome to come if you like. Sing this little chorus together. Reach out to touch the Lord as He goes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry.
Oh, he's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Once again, just reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by, and you will find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. Oh, he's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. And I thank you, valley I walk through today, the darker the valley, the more I learn to pray. Found you like a lily blooming by the way, and I thank you for the valleys I walk through today. Thank you for every hill I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank you for every lonely night I prayed till I knew that everything was alright. And I thank you for the valleys I walk through today. Life can't be all sunshine, or the flowers would die. The rivers would be desert, all barren and dry. Life can't be all blessings. There'd be no need to pray. So I thank thee for the valleys walk through today. Thank you for every hill I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank for every lonely night I prayed till I knew that everything was alright. And I thank you for the valleys walk through today. Give me a key, Frank, for this. My heart cries out, oh Lord, how long till my suffering ends and you call me home? Since I caught a glimpse of my home in the sky, nothing in this world keep me satisfied. Sing that with me. Is that the light of home I see? Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea? With the Lord standing high on heaven's balcony, If that's the lights of home, a welcome sight to me. Seems I can hear all the angels sing with harps of gold and a thousand strings. Earth holds no charm when I hear their song. Sweet Beulah Land, it's my home, sweet home. Is that the lights of home I see? Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea? With the Lord standing high on heaven's balcony, if that's the lights of home, a welcome sight to me. Seems I can hear all the angels sing with harps of gold and a thousand strings. Earth holds no charm when I hear this song. Sweet Beulah Land, my home, sweet home. Man, time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel will stand on the sea and the land, and shall be no more. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel will stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. And I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb. Let us give him glory, all ye people. Oh, his blood that's washed away every stain. And I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb. You know, Paul said, I thank my God that I may make mention of you in my prayers always, sometimes all through the night. All through the night, off and on, I'm struggling, trying to talk to Jesus about my spiritual children and my natural children, and about the people, and about his kingdom, and to find his favor all through the night. And he comes to me, and he strengthens me, and he blesses me. And in holding my people up in prayer, God blesses them and heals them and walks with them and protects them and keeps them from danger. But folks, you need to make your effort so that my prayers can be effective in your life. Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give glory. For his blood has washed away. Let's sing this little chorus. I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ, my friend, who will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels shout and sing. Sing that with me. For I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ, my friend, who will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels shout and sing. Let's sing this little chorus. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. He is the lily of my valley, and he my bright morning star, and he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. Do you know who he is? He is the lily of your valley, and he's your bright morning star. He's the first of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Let's sing this little chorus. Sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are brighter than the morning star. You are fairer, fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. You're more precious than... Sing that with me now. Oh, my Savior, sweet Savior, what a wonder you are. You are than the morning star. You are fairer, fairer
than the lily that blooms by the way. You're more precious than gold.
One more time.
Oh, Jesus, dear Jesus, what a wonder you are. Brighter than the morning sky. You are than the lily that blooms by the way. You're more precious than gold.
While you've got your hands lifted up, your eyes closed, we're going to sing this little chorus we sing so often, bringing in the sheaves. Everybody has a job to do. Whether you're doing your job or not, only God knows. But it's all on record as to every deed that you do. And in the day of the judgment, you must answer for every deed that you've ever done, every thought that you've ever thought, every word that you've ever said, whether in secret or whatever. So then we sing this little song, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. We're bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. And I will come rejoicing, I'm bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, are you bringing in the sheaves? Will you come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves? Bringing in the sheaves, are you bringing in the sheaves? Oh, I will come rejoicing, I'm bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, are you bringing in the sheaves? My whole life is given to bringing in the sheaves, that in the day of the Lord Jesus, I may come rejoicing to his presence and say, Lord, all of my life has been spent trying to bring in the sheaves. The harvest is here. Say not later, but now. It's the harvest.
Rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. And we will come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.
We had a couple of visitors this morning that I did not know was here, and they got away without us recognizing them. Nobody I suppose knew them, or either they didn't tell me or nobody let me know anything. So they came and went, and I trust that they enjoyed the services of the Lord, but it'd been nice if I could have recognized them. Strangers as far as I know. Let them know that they're welcome to Little Bethlehem, the home of the soul. Indeed, Little Bethlehem is a home of the soul in the midst of the terrors of today. While you've got your heads bowed and your eyes closed and your hands lifted up, the Lord is looking upon you. Those hands lifted up represents the nail-riven hands of Jesus as to the body of the Lord Jesus. And God is looking at those nail prints. I've engraven you in the palms of my hands that I might not forget you. Don't fret yourself because of evildoers. Everybody is not going to heaven. Everybody is not a child of God. Everybody is not elect. But the Bible said as many as were the elect of God, then they believed when Paul preached and the others did not. So then, hold fast to your crown and don't let anybody take it. Spirits will get on you. I spoke to a man the other day. I saw that a spirit had gotten on him while he's out there with his business. He wasn't aware of it. It was hardening his life and heart, separating him from God. And I come down pretty strong. And when I come down pretty strong, it tore him up. The next day he met me. He said, you know, he said, something broke off of me yesterday. He said, I know now
that I'd got bound with something and gotten out there in the world and didn't understand it and didn't know it. He said, and it broke off of me, and he was so happy. We're wrestling against demon spirits that's trying to steal our sheep. And like David with his little slingshot, he wasn't afraid of the bear and he wasn't afraid of the lion. He loved those sheep. The Bible said the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Whose sheep ye are. And I don't want to be a hireling. The wolf cometh, the hireling fleeth. I want to be a member of the body of the good shepherd, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I want to be willing to stand in the face of the opposition and the terrors of today, which is the horrible, hideous seizure of Satan upon the church, to try to bring everything down to a Jim Jones level, as they call it. But beloved friend, let me tell you, there are still the beautiful jewels of God, and you're God's jewels. And they're still the beautiful children of God, holy and righteous and pure. And it's not because you're good that you're holy, but because he is good. Not because you're holy, but he's holy. But because he hath made you holy, in that you have made a sincere effort to be holy, then are ye the holy ones of God, and your faults he does not see. You are without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. So while we're standing here worshiping the Lord, acknowledging these kind of things, let us remember that we come to be filled with the Spirit. The Bible said, be filled with the Spirit. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. See, do the things that please him is to have a heart of confidence and faith to receive the things that God has for you in Christ Jesus, that you may have the desires of your heart and may ride upon the high places of the earth, that the blessing of the Lord may make you rich and add no sorrow. So then while you are with your heads bowed and your hearts turned toward God, your hands lifted up, I'm going to ask a brother to come up here and pray with us. While you're meditating, I want to ask you to search your heart. Examine your heart. See if you are in the faith. See if you really are in the faith. Faith cometh by the hearing, and the hearing comes by the word of God. Once again, let's sing together. And I will praise God. Will praise him. Bless Brother Pasden to come up if you will. Can you lift your hands and praise him?
And I will give him glory.
Remember, death beds are coming. Death beds. They're coming. And you're going to die. Whether you're young or whether you're old, you're going to die. It's just a few days and full of trouble, and you'll be dying. You'll be going to your place. Everyone goes to their place. 10 million worlds won't change it. And the thing to remember is that you shorten your days by your disobedience. That the more that you disobey God, the more days is taken off of your life. And the shorter your lifespan is, some of you have been already such that you may not have but a few more days. You might not even have a few days. You may not have but a few years. Well, even though you be young and life seems promising, but because of the things that you knew when you knew better to do it, all of those things have shortened your days. As to how many days has been taken away from you, I don't know. I do know of people that lengthen their lifespan. For the Bible said if you would see long life, long years, good life and good days, refrain your tongue from speaking evil and draw nigh to God. And many times people that would have died because of the seizures of Satan, as Satan viciously attacked them, God, through mercy, because they had shown mercy and because they had shown concern, God, through mercy, came down and freed them and stopped Satan from taking their life. You're going to need Christ. You're going to need Christ. These words will ring in your mind and in your soul. They will burn like coals of fire when that terror comes and something screams out. You're going to need Christ. You're going to need Christ. And then something rings out. Too late. Too late. So quick. So quick. As a man was telling me today, his dad called a son to his side. And he said, "Son, I want to pray for you." Run his hand through the little bars of the rail of the bed that had him in. He told him he was fixing to leave. He said, "Son, I want to pray for you." Took his hand and prayed for him. Laid back on the pillar, and that was it. Like Jacob when he called him to bless his sons. See, just one little heartbeat is all you got. You live from the oxygen that comes from the cosmos of this world as to the cosmic light and the energy of this that God has given us to that oxygen that is in this world. And just one little problem with the heart, and all of a sudden you got a little problem, and too late, and that's it. You drop where you're at. Or it could be you may go through the languishing of sorrow and misery and heartaches, and then through a languishing of sickness unto death. So while you got your hands up and we sing this, of course, one more time, Ron's coming. So I will praise. You got a whole week now, except for the midweek service, that you've got to go on this blessing and you've got to go on this strength. Unless you go to God and pray during the week. Unless you meditate, fellowship the saints of God. Help us in world evangelism and keep your vision. Without a vision, the people perish. Get your vision. Don't be like others. Don't be up and down and in and out. Get your vision. Stay with it. If you've never made a commitment to God, make the commitment. Don't wait too late. Somebody would say, "Well, I know there's going to be plenty of days of grace." No, it doesn't look like there will be. And besides that, that has nothing to do with sending away your day of grace. There might be grace for many people, but might not be much for you. So let's don't base it on that. Let's base it on the Word of God. Is God telling us that now is the accepted time, that we should repent, that we should come to God, that we should seek God while we can find God, and that our hearts are lifted up to God in the time of the services, then that's the time that we should let our spirits go out to God. Swear to our own hurt and never change again. Don't mess with them that are given to change. It's one day one way and another day another way. Be once and for all as to Christ within your heart to follow Him, and everything will be well with you. For all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and those that are the called according to God's purpose.